Adonai said to Moshe, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have made him and his servants hard-hearted, so that I can demonstrate these signs of mine among them, so that you can tell your son and grandson about what I did to Egypt and about my signs that I demonstrated among them, and so that you will all know that I am Adonai." Moshe and Aharon went in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Here is what Adonai, God of the Hebrews, says. How much longer will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go so that they can worship me. Otherwise, if you refuse to let my people go, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. One won't be able to see the ground, so completely will the locusts cover it. They will eat anything you still have that escaped the hail, including every tree you have growing in the field. They will fill your houses and those of your servants and of all the Egyptians. It will be like nothing your fathers or their fathers have ever seen since the day they were born until today." Then he turned his back and left. Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How much longer must this fellow be a snare for us? Let the people go and worship Adonai their God. Don't you understand yet that Egypt is being destroyed?" So Moshe and Aharon were brought to Pharaoh again, and he said to them, "Go, worship Adonai your God." "But who exactly is going?" Moshe answered, "We will go with our young and our old, our sons and our daughters, and we will go with our flocks and herds, for we must celebrate a feast to Adonai." Pharaoh said to them, "Adonai certainly will be with you if I ever let you go with your children. It's clear that you are up to no good. Nothing doing. Just the men among you may go and worship Adonai. That's what you want, isn't it?" And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence.
Whoever feels like reading, please freely come and present yourself a living sacrifice, worthy and acceptable to the Lord God.
Adonai said to Moshe, "Reach out your hand over the land of Egypt so that locusts will invade the land and eat every plant that the hail has left." Moshe reached out with his staff over the land of Egypt, and Adonai caused an eastern wind to blow on the land all day and all night. And in the morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and settled throughout Egypt's territory. It was an invasion more severe than there ever had been before or will ever be again. They completely covered the ground, so the ground looked black. They ate every plant growing from the ground and all of the fruits of the trees left by the hail. Not one green thing remained, not a tree and not a plant in the field in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh hurried to summon Moshe and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against Adonai, your God, and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin just this once and intercede with Adonai, your God, so that he will at least take away from me this deadly plague." He went out from Pharaoh and interceded with Adonai. Adonai reversed the wind and made it blow very strongly from the west. It took up the locusts and drove them into the Sea of Suf. Not one locust remained on Egyptian soil. But Adonai made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he didn't let the people of Israel go. Adonai said to Moshe, "Reach out your hand toward the sky, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness so thick that it can be felt." Moshe reached out his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. People couldn't see each other, and no one went away anywhere for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light in their homes.
Pharaoh summoned Moshe and said, "Go worship Adonai, only leave your flocks and herds behind. Your children may go with you." Moshe answered, "You must also see to it that we have sacrificed and burnt offerings so that we can sacrifice to Adonai our God. Our livestock will also go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind, because we must choose some of them to worship Adonai our God. And we don't know which ones we will need to worship Adonai until we get there. But Adonai made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he would not let them go. Pharaoh said to them, "Get away from me, and you had better not see my face again, because the day you see my face, you will die." Moshe answered, "Well spoken, I will see your face no more." Adonai said to Moshe, "I am going to bring still one more plague on Pharaoh and Egypt, and after that he will let you leave here. When he does let you go, he will throw you out completely. Now tell the people that every man is to ask his neighbor and every woman her neighbor for gold and silver jewelry." Adonai made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people. Moreover, Moshe was granted by Pharaoh's servants and the people as a very great man in the land of Egypt.
Moshe said, "Here is what Adonai says. About midnight I will go out into Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitting on his throne to the firstborn of the slave girl at the handmill, and all the firstborn of the livestock. There will be a horrendous wailing throughout the land of Egypt. There has never been another like it, and there will never be again. But not even a dog's growl will be heard against any of the people of Israel, neither against people nor against animals. In this way, you will realize that Adonai distinguishes between Egyptians and Israel. All your servants will come down to me, prostrate themselves before me, and say, 'Get out, you and all the people you follow, who follow you.' And after that, I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in the heat of anger. Adonai said to Moshe, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that still more of my wonders will be shown in the land of Egypt." Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, but Adonai had made Pharaoh hard-hearted, and he didn't let the people of Israel leave his land. Adonai spoke to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt. He said, "You are to begin your calendar with this month. It will be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the assembly of Israel and say, 'On the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb or kid for his family, one per household, except that if he should share one, dividing it in proportion to the number of people eating it. Your animal must be without defect, a male in its first year, and you may choose it from either the sheep or the goats. You are to keep it until the 14th day of the month, and then the entire assembly of your community of Israel will slaughter it at dusk. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the two sides and the top door frame at the entrance of the house in which they eat. That night, they are to eat the meat roasted in the fire. They are to eat it with matzah and marar. Close enough. Don't eat it raw or boiled, but roast it in the fire with its head, the lower parts of its legs, and inner organs. Let nothing of it remain till morning. If any of it does remain, burn it up completely. Here's how you are to eat it: with your belt fastened, your shoes on your feet, and staff in your hand, you are to eat it hurriedly. It is Adonai's Pesach. For that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and animals, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. The blood will serve you as a sign marking the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over you. When I strike the land of Egypt, the death blow will not strike you. This will be a day for you to remember and celebrate as a festival to Adonai from generation to generation. You are to celebrate it by perpetual regulation. For 7 days you are to eat matzah. At the first day, remove the leaven from your houses. For whoever eats hametz from the first of the seventh day to be cut off from Israel. On the first and seventh days you are to have an assembly set aside for God. On these days no work is to be done except what each must do to prepare his food. You may do only that. You are to observe the festival of matzah, for on this very day I brought your divisions out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you are to observe this day from generation to generation by a perpetual regulation. From the beginning of the 14th day to the first month until the evening of the 21st day, you are to eat matzah. During these 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. Whoever eats food with hametz in it is to be cut off from the community of Israel. It doesn't matter whether he is a foreigner or a citizen of the land. Eat nothing with hametz in it. Wherever you live, eat matzah.
Then Moshe called for all the leaders of Israel and said, "Select and take lambs for your families and slaughter the Pesach lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop leaves and dip it in blood, which is in the basin, and smear it on the sides and tops of the door frame. Then none of you is to go out of your door of his house until morning, for Yahweh Adonai will pass through to kill the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top of the and two sides, Adonai will pass over the door and will not allow the slaughter to enter your houses and kill you. You are to observe this as a law, you and your descendants forever. When you come to the land which Adonai will give you, as he promised, you are to observe this ceremony. When your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this ceremony?' say, 'It is the sacrifice of Adonai's Pesach, because Adonai passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he killed the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' The people of Israel bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did as Adonai had ordered Moshe and Aaron. That is what they did."
At midnight, Adonai killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitting on his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Pharaoh got up in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was horrendous wailing in Egypt, for there wasn't a single house without someone dead in it. He summoned Moshe and Aaron by night and said, "Up and leave my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve Adonai as you said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you said, and get out of here, but bless me too. But bless me too." The Egyptians pressed to send the people out of the land quickly, because they said, "Otherwise, we'll all be dead." The people took their dough before it had become leavened and wrapped their kneading bowls in their clothes on their shoulders. The people of Israel had done what Moshe had said, and they had asked the Egyptians to give them silver and gold, jewelry and clothing. And Adonai had made the Egyptians so favorably disposed toward the people that they had let them have whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. The people of Israel traveled from Ramanus to Sukkot, some 600,000 men on foot, not counting children. A mixed crowd also went up with them, as well as livestock in large numbers, both flocks and herds. They baked matzah loaves from the dough they had brought out of Egypt, since it was unleavened, because they had been driven out of Egypt without time to prepare supplies for themselves. The time the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years to the day, all the divisions of Adonai left the land of Egypt. This was a night when Adonai kept vigil to bring them out of the land of Egypt, and this same night continues to be a night when Adonai gives vigil for all the people of Israel through all their generations. Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron, this is the regulation for the Pesach lamb. No foreigner is to eat it, but if anyone has a slave he bought for money, when you have circumcised him, he may eat it. Neither a traveler nor a hired servant may eat it. It is to be eaten in one house. You are not to take any of the meat outside the house, and you are not to break any of its bones. The whole community of Israel is to keep it. If a foreigner staying with you wants to observe Adonai's Pesach, all his males must be circumcised. Then he may take part and observe it. He will be like a citizen of the land. But no uncircumcised person is to eat it. The same teaching is to apply equally to the citizen and to the foreigner living among you. All the people of Israel did just as Adonai had ordered Moshe and Aaron. And on that very day, Adonai brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their divisions.
Jehovah said to Moshe, set aside for me all the firstborn. Whatever is first from the womb among the people of Israel, both of humans and of animals, belongs to me. Moshe said to the people, remember this day on which you left Egypt, the abode of slavery, because Jehovah, by the strength of his hand, had brought you out of this place. Do not eat hametz. You are leaving today in the month of Aviv. When Jehovah brings you into the land of Canaan and Hittai, Hemorai, Hivi, and Yevuzi, which he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days you are to eat matzah, and the seventh day is to be a festival for Jehovah. Matzah is to be eaten throughout the 7 days. Neither hametz nor leavening agents are to be seen with you throughout your territory. On that day you are to tell your son, it is because of what Jehovah did for me when I left Egypt. Moreover, it will serve you as a sign on your hand and as a reminder between your eyes, so that Jehovah's Torah may be on your lips, because with a strong hand Jehovah brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, you are to observe this regulation at its proper time, year after year. When Jehovah brings you into the land of the Canaan, as he swore to you and your ancestors, and gives it to you, you are to set apart for Jehovah everything that is firstborn from the womb. Every firstborn male animal will belong to Jehovah. Every firstborn from a donkey you are to redeem with a lamb. But if you choose not to redeem it, you must break its neck. But from people you are to redeem every firstborn. When, at some future time, your son asks you, what is this? Then say to him, with a strong hand, Jehovah brought us out of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. When Pharaoh was unwilling to let us go, Jehovah killed all the firstborn males in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of humans and the firstborn of animals. This is why I sacrifice to Jehovah any male that is first from the womb of an animal, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. This will serve as a sign on your hand and at the front of a headband around you, around your forehead, that with a strong hand Jehovah has brought us out of Egypt.
My goodness, there is so much in this parasha to speak about. And what Adonai has focused on my heart to share with you this morning is the issue of blood. We saw with Cain and Abel that the spilling of blood on the ground was an offense against Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, as well as mankind. That blood from violence is not accepted. But what is the purpose of blood? And that comes very clear to us here in this passage, that the Israelites were told to take the blood of a pure lamb, an unblemished lamb, and smear that blood on the doorposts of your home. And then I will know by that that your sins have been forgiven you. I will know that by that you are my people. And that's the first time that we get a sense that blood is an atoning element. And that's the first sign we get of the atoning lamb, the lamb that died so that we could be rescued. And we know that. We know that our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. We know that our Passover lamb has shed his blood so that we can be redeemed from our sins. And we know that God has made it very clear that only through the shed blood of a perfect, unblemished lamb can there be atonement for sin. That is the only way. And our perfect lamb, Adonai Yeshua, was sacrificed from before the beginning of time to enable us to be part of his family, to be recognized as his children. What a wonderful thought. We'll be dealing with this in much more detail later, but keep that thought in mind, that we would not be under his protection at all if not for his blood.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who selected the good prophets, who was pleased with their words which were spoken from the beginning. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
The Haftarah is from Yirmiyahu, or in English, Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 13 to 28. This word Adonai spoke to Yirmiyahu, the prophet, concerning how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, would come and attack the land of Egypt. Proclaim in Egypt, announce in Migdol, announce in Noph Tachpanesh. Say, take your stand, get ready, for all around you the sword is destroying. Why has your strong one been overthrown? He failed to stand because Adonai pushed him down. He caused many to trip. Yes, they fell all over each other. Then they said, let us go up. Let's return to our own people, back to the land where we were born, away from the sword that destroys. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, makes noise, but he lets the right time for action slip by. As I live, says the king, whose name is Adonai Tzevaot. When he comes, he will be as mighty as Tabor among the mountains, as Carmel next to the sea. Daughter living in Egypt, prepare what you need for exile, for Noph will become a ruin, laid waste without inhabitant. Egypt is a beautiful female calf, but a horsefly from the north has come to attack her, her mercenaries too, that she had with her. We're like well-fed calves in a stable, but they too have withdrawn in retreat. They all ran away without standing their ground. For their death, day of disaster has come over them, for the time for them to be punished. Egypt hisses like a snake as the enemy's army marches ahead, attacking her with their axes like lumbermen chopping trees. They cut down her forest, says Adonai, for they cannot be numbered. Yes, there are more of them than locusts, far too many to count. The daughter of Egypt is put to shame, handed over to the people from the north. Adonai Sabaoth, the God of Israel, says, I will punish Ammon from No, Pharaoh and Egypt with all her gods and kings. That is, Pharaoh and those who trust in him. I will hand them over to those who seek their lives, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, and to his servants. But afterwards, Egypt will be inhabited as in the past, says Adonai. Yet don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant. Don't be distressed, Israel. For I will save you from faraway places and your offspring from the lands where they are held captive. Yaakov will return and be at peace, quiet, with no one to make him afraid. Don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, says Adonai, for I am with you. I will finish off all the nations where I have scattered you. However, you I will not finish off. I will discipline you as you deserve, but not completely destroy you.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who gave the universe, who has given us the sign of Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, O Lord, who ever blesses all scriptures. Amen.
I'm reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 8, starting at verse 6. Now the seven angels with the seven shofars prepared to sound them. The first one sounded his shofar, and there came hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was thrown down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his shofar, and what looked like an enormous blazing mountain was hurled into the sea. A third of the sea turned to blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his shofar, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky onto a third of the rivers and onto the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness, and a third of the water became bitter, and many people died from the water that had been turned bitter. The fourth angel sounded his shofar, and a third of the sun was struck. Also, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. The day had a third less light, and the night likewise. Then I looked, and I heard a lone eagle give a loud cry as it flew in mid-heaven. Woe! Woe! Woe to the people living on earth because of the remaining blasts from the three angels who have yet to sound their shofars.
I'll be reading Revelation 9, verses 1 to 12. The fifth angel sounded his shofar, and I saw a star that had fallen out of heaven onto the earth, and he was given the key to the shaft leading to the abyss. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and there went up smoke from the shaft like the smoke of a huge furnace. The sun was darkened, and the sky too, by the smoke from the shaft. Then out of the smoke onto the earth came locusts, and they were given power like the power scorpions have on earth. They were instructed not to harm the grass on the earth, any green plant or any tree, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The locusts were not allowed to kill them, only to inflict pain on them for 5 months. And the pain they caused was like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Now these locusts looked like horses outfitted for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold, and their faces were like human faces. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions. Their chests were like iron breastplates, and the sound their wings made was like the roar of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails like those of scorpions with stings, and in their tails was their power to hurt people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in our language, destroyer. The first woe has passed, but there are still two woes to come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is recorded with God's hand by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is to those who hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of blessedness, and all paths of peace. Long life is its right hand, and its left are riches and honor. And around it seems the city of his righteousness to render the Torah.
Amen.